It is Friday, it is the 11th of January, it's exactly 6 o'clock, and now with some breaking news for Greater Manchester, it's Paul Lockett.
Yes, and some terribly sad news. Diane Oxbury, our much-loved friend and colleague here at the BBC, has died after a short illness. She presented various programmes on BBC Radio Manchester and, of course, presented The Weather on North West Tonight for more than 20 years. The news has come as a huge shock to everyone at the BBC in the North West. Matt Truan looks back at her life.
Good evening to you. Well, you know what I know about...
Born in Sunderland in 1967, Diane joined the BBC in London as a personal assistant. She was soon on air at Radio 1 alongside Steve Wright and Simon Mayo. She moved to Manchester in 1991 when she got her TV break on the children's show The 8:15 from Manchester. She went on to study meteorology and joined BBC North West Tonight in the mid-90s. She also presented the lunchtime and breakfast shows here on BBC Radio Manchester alongside Eamon O'Neill.
If I googled you now, I bet there'd be some sort of results.
Bronze medallion in life-saving.
And captain of the synchronised swimming team.
Diane will be desperately missed by her family, along with listeners, viewers, and of course her friends and colleagues here at the BBC.
Well, Diane was only 51. She grew up in the northeast, and speaking on BBC Radio Manchester just over a year ago, she recalled some happy memories of teenage nights out in Newcastle.
This takes me back when I lived in Newcastle and I just started going out with my sister and her friends on an evening, and we used to go out to a nightclub, a floating nightclub on the Tyne called the Tuxedo Princess.
Bet that was cold as well.
Well, nobody ever wore a coat, we wouldn't know. It also had a rotating dance floor. Many drinks were spilled there.
Diane Oxbury, who sadly died, and we'll be hearing more from the people who knew Diane and worked with her throughout the morning. In other news, attacks on vans, lorries and buses.
And if you've just tuned in this morning, we have the very sad news to bring you that Diane Oxbury, our friend and colleague here at the BBC, died yesterday after a short illness. She was so well known in the North West. She did everything. She presented on BBC Radio Manchester. She was on North West Tonight. She was very proud of the work that she did on Inside Out. And she presented all sorts of different award ceremonies as well in Manchester. But she got her really big radio break on Radio One of all places with Steve Wright and Simon Mayo, and it felt only right that we speak to Simon Mayo this morning. Hi, Simon.
Hey, good morning, Chelsea.
Incredibly sad news, this, isn't it? I mean, we just all feel completely stunned. How did you react to it?
Yes, well, you're right. I think everybody will be stunned and devastated today. How else can you respond to news which is so sudden? You know, we didn't communicate very often. You always think you have time to get back in touch with people. We last communicated a few months ago, but I think as many people discovering this news will feel today that they've lost a friend.
Absolutely. I mean, you were presenting the biggest show at Radio 1, The Breakfast Show. What was Diane like to work with, especially all those years ago? I'm sure there were some funny stories.
Well, you were absolutely right to mention Steve Wright there, because Diane was part of the production team. She would sit outside the Radio 1 studios and do music blogging and various things like that. But whenever you spoke to her, she was very sparky and charismatic and edgy and funny and just great to be with. So I think Steve spotted that first, and I spoke to him yesterday just to get the facts right, and he just included her in as part of the afternoon team and telling stories and being part of that. And then on breakfast, and Jackie Brambles, who was her great friend, moved on because she'd been on breakfast. And then Diane was just a natural fit. And so even though in theory the job was weather and travel and all that kind of something, which she embraced completely, she kind of filled the studio. You know, she was a very charismatic presence, very warm, very funny, very sharp. And I remember one time when Paul Gascoigne had come into the studio. He was promoting Fog on the Tyne, I think, and he'd been dragged in by the record company. He was a very reluctant guest. Nice. And then he made eye contact with Diane. And then when Diane spoke to him, and clearly she was from the Northeast, I think he really wasn't expecting anyone else from the Northeast of England to be in the studio. His eyes lit up, and We had a very, well, as a result of Diane,
a great interview,
a very entertaining time with Gazza. But there were some wonderful times. But everyone is obviously just going to be very devastated today.
She was never really put out by anything. She took everything in a stride. She used to come in and do the weather for me when I did the drive time show here, and sometimes she'd come in and read it whilst peeling a orange. I used to say, she's just casually going, and this afternoon the clouds will clear, and she's literally peeling like a satsuma, and I'd be like, what are you doing? You know, it was just, that was the great thing about her.
Well, we had to do one of the things that we did, which sounds bizarre now, is when she did the travel, we did a regional split. So we did travel for London and the South East, and then travel for the rest of the UK, and it had to be exactly the same length. So we pre-recorded the London stuff, and then the rest of the UK was live, so it all had to be like a minute 20 or whatever it was. And we split the transmitter feed, and a lot of people were freaked out completely by that. But Diane just took it in her stride, and you're absolutely right, nothing fazed her.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you for talking to us this morning. Sorry it's under such sad circumstances, but really appreciate you taking the time. Simon Mayer,
okay, thank you.
Let's have a listen to a few of Diane's best bits.
My guest today is Barbara Windsor. Good afternoon to you, Barbara.
Oh, hello there, Diane.
Am I right to think that when you were a kiddie, you were evacuated up to Blackpool?
Oh, you bet. And the people I got evacuated to wrote to my mum and said, she's a mischief maker, she's always playing on the streets, we're going to send her to dancing school. And that's what happened. And I came back a year later saying, mummy, would you pass the butter, please? Which made all the cockneys are going, here, Babs, go on, say, mummy, would you pass the butter, please? And mummy, would you pass the butter, please?
Oh, real country music that just drives along.
Well, Cliff Richard has got a brand new single out and a brand new album out later this month. It's the first on Decca after 45 years at EMI. Cliff, that can't possibly be right.
No, I'm afraid it is right. Actually, I was never on Decca because when I first started singing in 58, I was turned down by Decca.
Oh.
I know, but it does happen. I don't blame them. I was probably rubbish anyway.
Well, we've been talking about her all morning, and it seems that everybody loves her. My guest on the Lunchtime Show today is novelist Jackie Collins. It's interesting because I'd be terrified to meet your sister, but you seem so much more approachable. Do you get that a lot?
I do get that a lot, yes. I think it's because she's an actress and I'm a writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a writer, I'm much more used to dealing with people.
Great. But the book that we've been talking about is Lovers and Players, Sexy, Successful, Single. It kind of sums everything up, doesn't it, really?
It does, doesn't it? Who doesn't want to be sexy, successful and single?
When you need somebody,
well, my guest on the Lunchtime Show today is Rick Astley. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
And it is such a strange thing because I thought you'd just not jacked it all in, because there was never a big formal, I ain't doing this ever again. But I'm so surprised to have you in the studio, because for years I know my colleagues have said, we've always tried to get Rick Astley to do X, Y and Z.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised to be here as well, if I'm absolutely honest. I did pack in and I did kind of say, you know, I think that's it, that's enough. I don't want to do any more. But I guess you can never say never.
Diane Oxbury at Lunchtime.
Well, he's back with a very good single. It's Donny Osmond. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Diane. How you doing?
I'm very well. I was taking a sneaky listen. I thought, I wonder if he sings along to his own songs, and he doesn't.
you were listening, huh?
Her Royal Highness Princess Michael of Kent has written a fascinating book. The book is The Serpent and the Moon, and we're delighted to say she's with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
This is such an intriguing story. When you break it down, it's an eternal triangle. But there's so much more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, yes, indeed, because we must remember that three in a marriage, familiar as it sounds, had quite a different implication. This time of this book is the first half of the 16th century. This young mistress the king had accused her of witchcraft because that was the only way she could remain beautiful. How can you be beautiful aged 36, you know?
Oh, imagine! It's Ken Dodd. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, young lady. We see this beautiful blonde on the telly every night.
And I'm there as well.
You can watch a lovely video of just some of Diane's career highlights on the BBC Radio Manchester Facebook page, by the way. Diane Oxbury is trending on Twitter nationally. Thank you very much for all of your calls, all of your texts and all of your tweets this morning. We're going to be reading some of them out very, very shortly. Such terribly sad news to announce, and it is really emotional to read this to you guys, that our much loved colleague and friend Diane Oxbury has died after a short illness. She was just 51, and we're all stunned, I think is the word, here at BBC Radio Manchester. She is known by millions for doing so many things. You know, she did the weather on North West Tonight for more than 25 years. She presented shows here on BBC Radio Manchester, The Breakfast Show with Eamon O'Neill, who we're going to be speaking to in just a second. More recently, she presented Inside Out North West. She hosted award ceremonies outside of work. We have so many memories of her, as I'm sure you lot will have too. And Michelle Adamson and Richard Stead have been looking back at her life.
8:15 from Manchester.
This was Diane Oxbury's big break on television. The 8:15 from Manchester was a Saturday morning kids' TV programme which began broadcasting nationwide in 1991. Here she is interviewing the fledgling Manchester boy band Take That, before they became superstars.
So how did you meet? I mean, are you all friends from school? Because it's quite a variety of ages, isn't there? I mean, no, I know, Rob, you're only 17, aren't you?
Baby of the band. No, what it was a combination of two bands. My manager got the two bands together and then...
took it from there, really.
Took it from there, and, like, the two bands
were
these four.
Yeah, we've always been friends.
And they found me at the side of the road. The sign saying Manchester or bust. So they decided to take me and make the numbers up. So here I am.
Prior to her work on TV, Diane had joined the BBC as a personal assistant at Radio 2. Soon, her talent was recognised and she was on air at Radio 1, alongside the likes of Steve Wright and Simon Mayo. There, she interviewed A-list celebrities like George Michael.
Right, I tell you what I want to do. I want to go round the posse here. Diane, say hello to Diane over there.
Hello, Diane, how are you doing?
You want to ask George a question?
Yeah, you say that, you know, your attitude's changed. Do you think you found fame maybe a little bit too early?
I don't know if it was too early. I mean, I can't say it was too early because it's left me where I am now, and I'm very happy where I am now. But it is a bit strange. I mean, I was in school and then I left school, and within about 9 months I was reasonably famous.
Diane had grown up in the Northeast. She was born in 1967 and, as she recalls here, had happy memories of teenage nights out in Newcastle.
This takes me back when I lived in Newcastle and I just started going out with my sister and her friends on an evening, and we used to go out to a nightclub, a floating nightclub on the Tyne called the Tuxedo Princess.
Bet that was cold as well.
Well, nobody ever wore a coat, we wouldn't know.
And the train now departing on BBC One is the 8:15 from Manchester.
When Diane got that job on children's TV, it brought her back north to Manchester. It was around this time that she met her husband, Ian, who was working as a cameraman at the BBC's Oxford Road. Then, after studying at the Met Office College in Berkshire, she joined North West Tonight.
Good evening to you. Well, you know what I know about the weather. It is very, very wet at the moment. I'm afraid that's the way it stays all the way through the night.
We've got Diane's relaxed, easygoing on-screen style, along with her warmth and humour, made her an instant favourite with viewers across the region.
Well, swimming with sharks at the Blue Planet Aquarium for comic relief. Oh, yes, check it out. This is how I've always wanted to appear on television. Head to toe in rubber and not a scrap of makeup.
Because of her popularity with audiences across the Northwest, in 2002, Diane was asked to present the lunchtime show here on BBC Radio Manchester. Soon, she moved to the breakfast programme alongside Eamon O'Neill. The chemistry between them was instant.
New York City, I'm doing fine now. And you're doing all right, actually, because you've got
this?
Your own... That's that. Oh, I thought you were asking me. I know what it is. Is it a mystery noise competition?
It's a mystery noise competition. What's in my hand?
What have I got in my hand? It's a hairdryer.
It is.
And why is that?
In more recent years, Diane fronted the documentary series Inside Out Northwest, and she continued to be a regular presenter here on BBC Radio Manchester. In her personal life, her great love was for her family and her horses. Diane will be desperately missed by everyone who knew her, including all of us here at the BBC. She leaves us with so many memorable moments from her broadcasting career, including this one when Peter Kay gatecrashed her forecast on Northwest Tonight.
If you don't like those charts, this might be the one that you like. You can see that the warm air is moving out of the way and the cool air is coming back in, so that makes more sense to you.
Hey! It's roasting, Diane!
Well, you just do it then!
It's roasting outside!
You know,
everybody's so happy!
I'm going to come to one of your concerts and come on stage and just
climb on your knees!
It's
God love Diane Oaks! God love her! You've made it sunshine for everybody!
For once!
God love Diane Oxbury, you've made it sunshine for everybody. Eamon O'Neill is with me now in the studio.
Well, that's the line that sums it up.
Does, doesn't it? It's what Roger said this morning.
Yeah, I heard Roger say that too.
And he said, when he said that, he never even probably had planned what he was going to say. But
well, he was in Peter Kay land, really, wasn't he? But what he actually said there is perfectly apposite, and it's a good morning to remember that sentiment.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just have a quick chat to Dave in Winsford. He's on the phone now. Morning, Dave. Dave, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now, Dave. Thank you. Here with Eamon. You used to listen to the two of them together, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I first came across Diane on Simon Mayo's programme, and it was a confession slot that you always used to make me laugh with the people phoning in with confessions and things. And then with Eamon, it was like, I can't remember how it worked about, but there was people phoning in with a topic, and nearly every day Lion Eyes was put in there as a song.
It was actually that. Dave, you're right, and I've got that written down on my notes here, that whatever topic we were talking about, we just brought it round to Lying Eyes by the Eagles. I think it started with let's have songs about animals, and as soon as somebody said lion.
Lion Eyes, yeah.
We had Lion Eyes, and then whatever we talked about for days and weeks, we just used it as an excuse to play Lion Eyes.
I might nick that idea. I quite like that.
To be honest, it doesn't sound funny now you're talking about it.
When you dissect it, you know, we shouldn't dissect things.
Do you know what though, Dave, if you don't mind me jumping in, we just heard Michelle and Richard's wonderful package there with Memories of Diane, and they said that when we were put together, it was actually on the mid-morning show before breakfast, but the chemistry was instant, and Diane and I both thought it was, and hopefully that came across to you as a listener.
Oh, definitely.
How are you feeling this morning at the news, Dave?
Well, when I woke up and turned the radio on, because I hear the news just as I get up, and that was it. I was absolutely gobsmacked and almost in tears having a shave this morning. I've written down here, this is like the friend that I never met, because never ever met her, but from when, like I say, the early days on Radio 1, just hearing the voice and not even knowing what she looked like then. And I know I put in the text that I sent in that tonight, you know, whoever does the weather, there'll be an extra special sparkling star in the sky tonight.
Yeah, there will. And I think you're right there, the friend you've never met. I think, you know, in this business, that is quite artificial, actually, generally speaking, Dave. But Diane stood out as someone who never signed up to that artifice. She was a real, genuine person. And the measure of a good presenter, as we are called, is if people whom you've never met regard you as a friend. And as we heard in... we've read in Ian, her husband's statements yesterday evening and this morning. You know, obviously she was a great family woman, a wonderful wife and a fantastic mother. But people like yourself and others felt she was part of their family, and you welcomed her into your home. And that's a huge testament.
The ultimate honour, isn't it?
It is the ultimate honour, you're right. Yeah.
Dave, thanks for calling in. It's been lovely to chat to you.
No, you're welcome.
All right, take care.
Take care, all of you. Bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. We should read Ian's statement, actually, here. Ian, Diane's husband, said, Diane was an amazing wife and mother who embraced life to the full. She was an inspiration to all who knew and loved her, but also to the people who watched and welcomed her into their homes, like Dave, each night, as if she were a part of their family too. She'll leave a massive void in our lives, but because of the remarkable person she was, she will forever live on in our hearts. The children and I will miss her more than anybody can imagine. she, do you know what always struck her, struck me about her, that I always was a bit envious, was how like strong she was. And I always think, if I could have like a tenth of the assertiveness and the strength and the confidence in being her, even if she didn't feel like that, that was the way it always came across. I always thought I would be happy with that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if you split it into three, I mean, let's bear in mind, if you don't mind me saying this, we all feel devastated this morning, as we've heard your listener does as well. But this isn't actually about us. This is about Ian and the children.
Of course it is.
And the wider family. So we must bear that in mind, have that at the forefront of our minds. But Diane was strong. She was Amazonian, statuesque, beautiful. As a mother, she was a loving mother. She was a fantastic wife for 25 years. And as a professional, you couldn't get a more professional, as we've heard people say this morning. Roger said it, and the two Simons have said it. And you're right, that what shone through was the ordinariness of was extraordinary, and the humility.
Yeah.
And away from the microphones and cameras, like yourself, Chelsea, she's been a patron of St Anne's Hospice for many years, and all the charity work she did. And, you know, I'm celebrating her ordinariness in what was an extraordinary person. But the time we had together on air, I know some of the anecdotes, you know, I'm smiling a lot to myself, but they don't all sound that amusing now. But we were thrust together by accident almost, and we did click straight away. And I mean, the last text I sent her actually only last week was to remind her that we've got a new chair for the trifle. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but I was delighted that she texted back and she said, oh, you've made me smile. And that story was somebody, a guest, had brought us a trifle in, and obviously we weren't going to eat it, because you never know what people have
put in it,
how clean the hands were when they made it. So we put it on a chair in the corner of the studio, and it stayed there for about 2 days, and then eventually it got shifted, but the chair stayed.
Right.
The next day, three guests came in, and they're only with an entourage, and one of the entourage went to sit on the chair, and Diane turned around and said, don't sit on that, that's for the trifle. So clearly that doesn't mean anything to anybody except us now. And then when the World Cup was over in Germany, every time she and I had to throw to the reporter of the World Cup, she would say, or I would say, let's go now to Baden, Baden. And the other one would say, pardon. Again, not very funny now.
And then I one, disagree,
one other, well, Baden, Baden, pardon.
I think that's my kind of humour.
They became kind of private catchphrases. And then another time, I won't mention the guest's name because he's well known, he was becoming disrespectful. And so Diane actually got up and wheeled his chair out of the studio.
See, that's the strength I'm talking about.
And that's the strength you were talking about.
That's the strength I'm talking about. Everyone is so stunned because it seems so sudden. You have been to see her, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw her the day before yesterday afternoon. I went to see her, and I was pleased to note that she had some very close friends with her, and she knew they were there. And I went in, and Ian said, here's Eamon, and she said, oh, I'm here. And then she croaked, tell me a joke.
Oh.
And then, as in life, I tried to tell her a joke and she just drifted off.
Yeah, she
not
didn't
listening.
Laugh. Yeah.
I didn't actually do that, but I was pleased that I'd managed to see her. We all feel a great sense of loss, but I think that it's hard to explain just what a warm person she was and how much joy she brought into the lives of many people, family and friends and people she didn't know. And there'll be a big hole here at the BBC. And as Roger Johnson said earlier, she was a reluctant celebrity. She didn't care about the fame. It wasn't about that. She was a communicator.
It's
and
like
that huge smile.
A Twitter even, you know, it was all about her cats and her dogs. And we always laughed because we called her a pet collector.
Yeah.
Because she did just used to collect these random pets and homeless animals and things like that. And that was being at home and being with Ian and being with the kids and being with the dogs and the horses and the cats and everything else in between was where she probably felt most at peace, I think, was it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And that brings back the ordinariness in an extraordinary person. And the clip she played just before the news at 8 showed you just what a great interviewer she was, because we call them interviews, but actually the best interviews are just conversations.
Chats, yeah.
And the objective is to get the best out of people. And she did that wonderfully. She was so engaged. She was one of us. She was an every man's person, wasn't she? And it's really terrible to talk about her in the past tense, but we do have to. But we, you know, I heard Simon Mayo, I heard Simon King, I heard Roger Johnson, and it's really difficult for me to add to anything that everybody's already said, apart from I did know her as a close friend and we spoke a lot. And I was glad to have been able to send her a little text before she got too ill, you know, to give her a little smile. But it's, we all feel as if it's been a family bereavement.
Yeah.
Which is, then I feel guilty feeling that because, you know, what about Ian?
Yeah,
and the children.
Close family. Mm. Yeah. Eamon, thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us. We had a call earlier on this morning from Angie, who summed it up pretty well for me. Let's take a listen.
I'm floored, Chelsea. I had no idea. Absolutely couldn't believe it. Got in the car to come to work this morning and I heard the news and I thought, and it was like somebody had knocked me sideways. Her voice and her smile and her energy and everything. The minute you heard the voice on the radio or the TV with the weather, you knew it was Diane. And I'm crying. I am, and I know I never met her, but some people touch her heart and some people you really, really like, and you wake up to them and you think, do you know what? You make my day because you're there, and that's it, and that's how I feel right now. And I'm sorry, I'm blubbering. You lot must feel dreadful. I mean, I can't imagine how Ian and the children feel. They're just going to need time. Thank you for giving me the time to speak, Chelsea, and God bless you all today, and God bless Ian and the children, and most of all, God bless Diane.